This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
You know, when people feel that desire to get out there, it shouldn't be hard. There shouldn't be tons of red tape and, you know, oh, you forgot to book this 6 months ago. Sorry, there's nowhere to go. Why don't you go stay in a hotel instead? That shouldn't be happening.
It's summertime. Time to make your camping reservations. Oops, should have done that 3 months ago. This week's guest on Sea Change Radio, Alyssa Ravazio, noticed that there was a lot of private land that would be perfect for camping, while public campsites were consistently overbooked and too often unavailable. So she started something called Hip Camp, which is sort of an Airbnb for campers. Ravazio tells us more about the company's business model, how they hope to make it easier for more of us to appreciate nature, and how her site can be a welcome new source of income for rural property owners. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by the CEO of Hip Camp, Alyssa Ravazio. Alyssa, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is a problem that I've encountered before. Why don't you explain how and why you created Hip Camp?
I created Hip Camp mostly because, to be honest, I'm a camper and I was really frustrated at how difficult it was to figure out where I could go camping. You've got all these different landowners, whether it's the government, different agencies within the government, or private campgrounds, and they're all on different websites. There was no way to see them, you know, all in one place. So we started Hip Camp to make it simpler for people to see where they could camp. And through that, learned there's actually not anywhere near enough great campsites. And so we started working with private landowners to create entirely new places for people to get outside. So you can think about Hip Camp as a platform that's connecting people with land for camping on both the public and private side.
And explain how it differs from somebody who might have a more rustic, rugged setup that they're renting out on Airbnb.
Sure. So, you know, Hip Camp is all about connecting with nature. So everything from, you know, how we design our site to our brand to the actual checkout process is really designed with the camper in mind. So if you have land, if you want campers coming who are, you know, excited about spending time outside, Hip Camp is absolutely the community you'd want to be working with. And in terms of how we differ from, you know, other sites that might also offer, you know, something similar, we're really the only comprehensive place with not only the private land sites, but also all of the public land, state parks, national parks, county parks, you name it. We really have all of that in one place for you with, you know, really simple unified filters. Like if you want to shower or you want to bring your dog or you want, you know, good rock climbing, we have all of that already organized for you.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So if you wanted to get a reservation in Yosemite or something, you could do it through Hip Camp?
So you could start through Hip Camp, and for now, to actually complete the reservation, we do have to send you to the government's official contractor, but I'm excited to share that with some big policy changes that we helped advocate for, that will be changing in the next year or two. You will actually be able to book all your national parks, national forests, and even your California state parks, and hopefully many more soon, on hipcamp.com.
But right now you can see the availability in certain spots on these government sites?
Yeah, so right now you can see where the campgrounds are. You can see photos and reviews uploaded from the community and get a really good overview of all the different places you might go.
Now, for people who live in a city who are trying to get out to the country, that's one thing. But there's another element to this, isn't there? There's people who live in the country don't necessarily spend as much time in nature as you may think because of such limited public access in more rural places. It seems like Hip Camp would be a pretty good solution for them, not only to camp, but also to maybe make some extra income on unused land.
Yeah, definitely. We're seeing Hip Camp being used as a way for people to offset the mortgage. Maybe they've bought a piece of property and they have plans for it down the road, or They're working off that payment, and HipCamp can be a great way to offset the cost of a mortgage or property taxes, basic upkeep and maintenance, that kind of thing. So for example, one of our landowners in Northern California actually recently gave me a letter, and she owns a beautiful ranch right along the coast. And the letter was sent to her by a land development group. And the land development group said, you know, we've identified your property as an extremely profitable one. We can make you millions of dollars. You know, sell it to us now and we'll give you, you know, this big increase in value. And she said she gets these letters all the time and it's really hard for her. You know, they're really working hard to make ends meet and keep the property running smoothly. And she said, because of HipCamp, because of your company, these letters are junk mail to me now. And I know I can keep this land open for as long as I want to. And that's really important to her for, you know, lots of reasons, including, you know, caring about the environment and caring about the wildlife that exists on her property. And so it's a really exciting model that's empowering a lot of people to conserve and protect beautiful natural habitats.
And the first part of the question, we assume that people who live in rural environments are exposed to nature on a much richer scale than people who live in the city, but that isn't necessarily the case. How do you think HipCamp may change that?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of rural areas, it can really depend, but there's actually quite a few areas around the country where there's no parks. There's not great access to campgrounds. And so HipCamp can come into those areas and create, you know, places close by to go camping where it doesn't have to be, you know, a huge drive, an expensive drive or something. It can be somewhere close by just in your local community. And that's what we're all about, increasing access to nature, whether you're in an urban area or in a more suburban or rural one.
And does it have to be an overnight thing in terms of camping? What if people just wanted to use somebody's property to have a little party of some sort in a natural environment? Has that been done on your site yet?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's definitely happened because of our site. It's not something we currently are focused on. So while we'll happily connect people, that's not something you can currently, you know, check out and book on HipCamp today. But we have heard, you know, everything from weddings to conferences that have happened because of, you know, people who have been looking on HipCamp and found some great land to do them on.
And what kind of restrictions do the owners have when it comes to allowing people to, let's say, make fires on their property and these other kind of variables that go into camping?
Sure. So it really varies by both season and location. We encourage and request that all of our landowners are familiar. For example, if there's a fire ban in your county, you know, to respect that and to be aware of the different rules and regulations. It kind of can change pretty quickly. To be honest, it can change, you know, day to day, week to week, especially with fire safety. Our big requirement is, you know, some kind of bathroom facility. We want to make sure that these places are accessible to people, even if they're not really familiar with backcountry practices. And so we do require some type of toilet. That's really our only firm requirement.
Traveling light is the only way to fly. Traveling light, just you and I. We'll go to ecstasy. Way on down our own way, traveling light is the only way to fly.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the founder and CEO of HipCamp, Alyssa Ravazio. So on the site, you can check out camps via map, which is pretty cool. It's similar to like Yelp or Google Maps, and it'll show you all the little spots where you're interested in going. And then it has like, in parentheses, how many campers, so 10 campers. Does that mean there'll be a limit of 10 campers on that property or a limit of 10 campers if I decided to reserve that spot? Because one of the things that has kind of been not so attractive to me before when I've done private property camping is that sometimes people can really be crammed into this space. Is there some kind of assurances that Hip Camp can give people to know that what they're getting will not be too crowded?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, the number one reason why people like camping on our private land sites is the privacy. So not for all of our private land sites, but for most of them, you are able to find a place where you can be really off on your own, someplace where people aren't even going to be able to see you or hear you, really your own, you know, private space in nature. So you can look at the number of sites that a given property has. If there's only one site, then you know you're really going to be, you know, out there on your own. But you can also read the reviews, and people are really honest in the reviews and let you know if it is more of a communal experience where maybe you have a shared kitchen or bathroom facility, or if it is going to be an experience where you're really secluded. And definitely that seclusion and really the serenity that comes with that is the number one reason why campers are loving these sites.
And what kind of assurances do the people who rent out their spots on Hip Camp have that campers will be treating their land with respect?
So respecting the land and the stewards of that land is a top priority for any Hip Camp experience for us. So we've got a great checkout system where any rule that is on the property must be read and agreed to. We do have a community system where if a camper has in any way not been respectful of the land, they do go through a process on our site, and then they might not be allowed to come back and book again. You can be removed from the community. We don't want to send bad campers to landowners in the future. Landowners also receive the protection of our liability insurance program. So we do have that set up for them, as well as a property protection program. So we're able to protect them and support them in the case that anything does go wrong, but we also do some proactive work to make sure the community is vetted and that they're going to be getting good campers.
Do campers have to pay a security deposit in some case, or a cleaning fee, et cetera?
So on the security deposit side, we do have their credit card on file, and part of, you know, the checkout process is agreeing that if there's any damages that are incurred, that is their responsibility, of course, to be paid for. And that's worked pretty well in the past. It's mostly only been, you know, smaller things like if they do leave trash, some kind of cleanup fee. You know, we don't proactively charge any cleanup fee, and that's actually a really important part of our brand. We believe if you're going outside, if you're spending time on land, you should be leaving it better. Not just leaving no trace, but leaving it better. And so charging a cleaning fee would imply that someone's going to, you know, come take care of you. And for us, it's all about people being resourceful and independent and being respectful of the property they're accessing. And they should be leaving it better than it was when they found it. And, you know, we do that also through stewardship days. So we have a lot of opportunities for people who want to camp for free in exchange for clearing out invasive species or creating a trail or helping with the harvest. So that's really something that we feature kind of throughout the Hip Camp experience.
So you mentioned your brand. Why don't we talk about the Hip Camp business a little bit more? Maybe give us a snapshot of where you are as a company in terms of headcount and maybe the reach that you have right now. Are there people in some states that can't access it, for example?
So we're a team of eight. I think everyone here is doing quite a few jobs per person, though. We are available nationwide. You can list or book land anywhere across the United States. And we also have that comprehensive guide to camping on public land across the entire country. We're mostly focused on California. That's certainly where we have the greatest density of places where you can actually book. And we have over 500,000 active campers. So those are people using the site, you know, every day, looking for somewhere to go camping, looking for somewhere to get outside. And that's really, you know, the biggest value we're able to bring our landowners is access to this community of nature-loving campers who are looking to get outside.
And so in terms of your reach, are you only kind of limited by the amount of people who have decided to rent or share their land?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing landowners who are, you know, listing their property and beginning to share with campers. And in general, we're seeing an incredibly quick rate there of them getting booked out, especially on the weekends. And so We really are limited by, you know, reaching people who want to share their land. And especially if you're within, you know, I would say 2 to 4 hours of a city. If you're close to a bigger urban area, I promise there are so many people in that city who want to get outside in nature and really lack the resources to do so. And especially in that, you know, strike zone, we call it, we've seen people be incredibly successful very quickly and are really only bound by how many of these people decide to, you know, share their land with our camper community.
What do you think your end game is building this company? Do you think at some point it may be something that could be attractive to a larger site like an Airbnb that they would buy you guys? Or are you steadfast in keeping this an autonomous, self-standing business moving forward?
I think we have a gigantic opportunity here. I think access to nature is something that is a shared desire and need across the planet. So our focus is on bringing this model to every country around the world and really opening up access to nature around the planet. And at the same time, you know, creating that opportunity for landowners across the planet to offset the cost of ownership and really be empowered in their dream of keeping their land open and undeveloped and, you know, unfragmented. I think that that's a really important thing to bring globally. And I think really long term, you know, what we're building here at the end of the day is a marketplace for land. And that's a really big opportunity. Camping is a great use of land. It's one of our favorites for sure, probably our favorite. But there's many other things you can do on land, whether it's hunting or fishing or events like you mentioned. And so this is really a big opportunity.
And are there any other companies that are doing something similar to you? Are there direct competitors? And maybe you can give us a kind of snapshot of the landscape in terms of competition for Hip Camp.
There's definitely other companies that focus on camping. There's none that focus on the comprehensive overview that we have, spanning from your state parks to you know, a private spot on some tribal land or on a ranch. There's no one that really spans that spectrum. And you know, what we're doing here is really hard, and it takes building real community and solving a lot of problems. So, you know, while it is definitely possible, and I'm sure will happen one day, that a bigger company will decide, you know, hey, this is a great idea, let's do it too. I feel confident that what we're building, the knowledge that it requires to do this well is so deep and so intricate that it's a really difficult thing to copy.
Getting back to traditional campsites and how you're trying to change this medium, maybe you can walk our listeners through what it really entails to try to camp in a traditional way. Let's say you wanted to take your family to Yosemite for the weekend. Before you founded Hip Camp, what were you doing?
Yeah, so the biggest problem I would say with most camping on public land, well, there's a couple, but for me, the biggest problem has always been that the different agencies really exist in their own world. So if you have a region you want to visit, like Yosemite or like the Sierra kind of up in that area, there are many different agencies, the National Forest being one, National Parks being a completely different one, that have their own campgrounds. And then you have state parks that have their own campgrounds as well. And then you have private campgrounds. And those are all in different places. And you really, as a camper, are being asked to do a tremendous amount of research, piecing together all the different options, just to get that first overview of where you might go. And I think for a lot of people, that's where they stop. It's intimidating, it's confusing, it's time intensive. And our whole mission with Hip Camp is to make that whole process, you know, simpler and to make it easier for people to get outside when they want to do that.
It really kind of takes away the spontaneity from camping as well, which is one of the best things about camping.
Exactly. And our, you know, we believe so deeply that nature is our natural, that is our habitat. That is where we have spent 99.9% of our evolution as a species. And you know, when people feel that desire to get out there, it shouldn't be hard. There shouldn't be tons of red tape and, you know, oh, you forgot to book this 6 months ago. Sorry, there's nowhere to go. Why don't you go stay in a hotel instead? That shouldn't be happening. And that's why what we're doing with public land and private land, that's kind of what brings it all together. It's about making it simpler for people to get out there and sleep under the stars.
Well, I know when I go to camp, I've often am torn between trying to get a backcountry pass and flouting the rules. And just if you actually followed the rules to a T, your experience might not be that pleasant, especially when it comes to camping in a very densely populated area, which is not what I'm interested in doing when I get out of the city. I want to be away from people, but that's harder and harder in these more concentrated camping sites.
Definitely. And what we're seeing and what we will continue to see is an increasingly dense population. They're expecting the population of North America to increase by over 100 million people in the next 50 years. Urbanization is driving, you know, so much of this population growth and explosion. And so what you're really seeing are these increasingly dense pockets of people with not enough, you know, places to get outside surrounding them. And so, you know, creating more places where people can find that peace and quiet, find their place in nature, and, you know, really find that quiet time for themselves is we think, really important for the sanity of a lot of people. And to your point, especially if you are coming from an urban area, you know, we love public campgrounds. I love going to state and national parks. I'm a big fan. There's nothing, not to say there's anything wrong with them, but as a camper, sometimes you don't want to be in a campground with a bunch of other people. You know, sometimes you do want to be out there on your own, and that can be very hard to almost impossible to find in these really popular areas. So that's what we're focused on fixing.
If a pigeon's holding you, can't fathom out you are what you're supposed to do. If you can't read what you write, if you find yourself weak in the middle of the night, get outside.
Sea Change Radio is made possible by support from Presidio Graduate School in San Francisco, offering MBA and MPA degrees in sustainable management. Learn more at presidio.edu.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to the founder and CEO of Hip Camp, Alyssa Ravazio. So what do you think the long-term impact could be if something like a hip camp takes hold on a mass scale? Could there be a downside in terms of there? I mean, there's a reason why we have some of these public lands. We want some kind of oversight when it comes to making sure that we're being good stewards of our natural resources.
Sure. I think the long-term impact of hip camp is very exciting and obviously something that really drives us absolutely every day. Long-term, what I think you'll see is a culture that really shifts towards an understanding that nature is our habitat and it's important for us to spend lots of time reconnecting in that place. I think you'll see tons of open land all over the world that is going to stay that way, that otherwise wouldn't be able to stay open, that otherwise would be vulnerable to development, resource extraction, that kind of stuff. And I think when you scale that globally, the impact gets tremendously exciting. On the potential downsides, you know, it's difficult to predict how things go and what might happen, but to your question on oversight, you know, most of our properties have a landowner who lives there and is providing that oversight. And again, one of the impacts long-term we would be excited to see there is because these landowners are present, because they're helping create that experience, we're actually seeing a huge amount of knowledge sharing. Most of these hosts in their own way are conservationists and absolute leaders. They know about permaculture, or they know about sustainable ranching, and they're able to share that knowledge with people who otherwise would have a really difficult time accessing it. And that cultural diversity, that mosaic of all these different people who are living with land, I think giving those people the platform to share what they know with the world could have the biggest impact of all in the long term.
And what is the incentive for hip camp renters of their space? Why don't you give us an idea of how much money some of these people can make, and maybe the connections they can make as well?
Yeah. So for a lot of the landowners, they're most interested in finding people who, share their values and the opportunity to earn some extra income from them. So people, love to camp. Landowners can set their own price, their own dates. Really, they have the control over how this works.
Are the landowners usually there or not? Or is there any kind of pattern when it comes to seeing landowners renting out their spaces?
Most landowners are present on the property. They might not greet every camper, but in the case of an emergency or a question, most of them are on the property. However, we do have quite a few really popular places where the landowner doesn't even live there. And so, it really can go either way. We have our website set up in a really simple way that you just choose. Those are the two options. Either when campers arrive, they're going to be greeted, or they should, let themselves in. And in the case that it's the latter, we just ask, of course, that there's good signage so people don't get lost.
And you mentioned how you have to have a bathroom on site. Does that kind of limit the amount of truly remote sites?
No, I mean, a lot of the toilets maybe are composting or something like that, so they can be built without a big investment and in more remote areas. And for quite a few of our landowners that didn't have toilet facilities to begin with, they were able to, invest in making one and then earn that money back very quickly. So we've seen, again, back to, why do this? The extra income's great. It can offset the cost of the mortgage, the property tax, the cost of upkeep and maintenance, and it can also offset the cost of, developing some basic camp facilities, which can then be enjoyed by, your own friends and family. The other reason we see landowners doing this is for the community, meeting people who care about nature and are attracted to the type of land you have. And, a lot of our landowners in their description will talk about some of the work they're doing, like, if they have a horse sanctuary or they're doing something really innovative in permaculture, that's going to be featured right there in the description. And as a result, they're going to be really attracting people who want to learn about this and care about this. We see reviews all the time that totally crack me up where someone's gone to a property with a beautiful lake. And you assume the lake is going to be the highlight of their trip because it's gorgeous and it's private and they are going to have it mostly to themselves. And then I'll read in the review that the highlight of their trip was learning about the off-the-grid sanitation and power facility. And that was fascinating to them. And they were so grateful for the opportunity to learn about that since they also have aspirations of one day living off the grid. And so I think the opportunity to really share knowledge and create community is something that's really driving our landowners as well.
She's the founder and CEO of Hip Camp. People can go to hipcamp.com to check it out. Alyssa Ravazio. Alyssa, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Wayne Shorter, Widespread Panic, and Robert Palmer. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.